Well, good morning. We have a privilege. I had opportunity this week to sit and have dinner with Mr. Chuck Cushman, who is the Rural Shepherds Network lead and director, one of our missionaries that we support here at the church. And it was just an honor and a privilege to kind of hear his heart and hear his ministry. And I would love to welcome him up. I'd love to pray for you before we begin. And everybody, this is Chuck. We're grateful for your ministry. We're grateful that you're here. And let me pray for you.
All right.
Well, Father God, Lord, I just lift this man up to you. I ask, Father, that you speak through him this morning, that you use him as your vessel. God, guide us, direct us, use us for your purpose, and may you receive all the praise and glory. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's so good to see everyone, and a lot of faces I've known for a long time, and some new ones as well. I've got so much on my heart this morning, and something that I didn't even expect to share right from the beginning is just, it's a little bit outside the message, yet it is, it fits right in, and I'd kind of like to set it on the table here from the beginning to just have an overall touch on the message that I've had on my heart. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, as I was just sitting there and we were going through some time before the Lord, just this scripture was stirring in my heart. It says, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God." Just a couple of things that I want us to think about. It's just, you are an epistle. Just for clarity, an epistle is a letter, right? You're a letter. You're a letter being written. All of us are a letter being written. This, I'll try not to move if that's changing the sound, but you are an epistle. A letter being written in our hearts. What I love about that is, right, Paul is saying that there's a letter being written in his heart that he can see what God is doing in them, right? But it's his writing in them, God's writing, the Holy Spirit's writing in them. He is writing a letter to be observed, known and read by all men. But one of the things that happens in the process is he places that intent that he has for people in hearts that are intended to see those people through things. Right? All of us have experienced at times when we have seen somebody and just known that God had plans for them and even knew how they should be nurtured, how they should be encouraged, right? Because you could see what was going on in their life even before they could see it themselves. Again, you are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. I guess a big thing that I just want to emphasize is that title right there, a huge plan that remains small. And you'll understand what that all means in a little bit. But as I drove into Scott Valley today, I just had so many memories flooding my mind. You know, they went back to my childhood, and my grandfather had his place in Cecilville. And although my family was very broken, the one place I was always back at on a regular basis was my grandfather's place in Cecilville. And I can remember in the 60s and late 60s, and then especially though, the vivid memories are all from, say, 1970 to 76. But we used to load up in the car. His place was up Caribou Road there. And we used to load up in the car on Sunday morning. It was my only exposure to church. And we would come up over Carter Summit. And the wonderful thing at Carter Summit was that my grandfather would pull over, and either we would unload two bikes or one, and my grandmother would get on one bike and I could get on the other when I got old enough. And we would just, from Carter Summit, just start coasting down toward Callahan. You didn't have to pedal at all. My grandfather would be just behind us, and he'd clock us at like 30, 35 miles an hour. Now, if we only had one bike because of the supplies we were going to get, sometimes one person would get on at the top, and then where the old way station used to be, my grandfather would wait there, and then we'd trade riders, and we'd come on down. He'd eventually, when we got down to the lower part, he'd pass us up and go down and be parked in front of Farrington's in Callahan when we got in there. Then we'd load up the bikes and head on here to Etna. We come up Main and we turn right at Diggle's there. And just down on the edge of the playground there of the elementary school was the old Methodist church building. And we would go in there. And when the children got dismissed, I never wanted to go down. I just wanted to sit there and listen to the message. I took everything in just as a kid going on up till about the time, probably the summer of about the time I turned 12. I was real, real regular when I was with my grandfather. After church, and my heart was always stirred, but after church, we'd go up to the park and have lunch. I'd get on that bike again and wheel around Etna. My grandmother would often do laundry there at the laundromat on Main Street, and there was a great hamburger place right there, and it had pinball machines. I could spend a lot of time at those pinball machines. I guess one of the many movies that I saw very vividly at the Etna Theater was, when it came out, was Jaws. Quite the impression. I knew they were not in the swimming hole on the Salmon River, so I was okay. Clear water, you knew there weren't any sharks. It didn't affect my swimming, but it sure put some vivid memories. You know, those impressions riding around in the different people were so impactful on me. I went through years then where I ended up actually all the way through high school living on my own. And I drank a lot. I was busy, but the Lord got hold of me, thankfully, and turned myself around, and both Susan and I came to the Lord before we were married. And with all our heart, right, we just wanted, Lord, show me how to be a man, right? Show us how to be a husband and wife. By the way, Don and Andrea Miller, I've kind of always known there's a lot of romance between them. I've observed it through the years. But there's a sweetness there. Then, so I went through those years, though I just kind of jumped over But I went through a lot of rough times between the time I was 12 and the time that I gave my life to the Lord. And then we came to the Lord. I ended up going to Bible college, ended up starting in ministry in 1985. And then the Lord called us here in 1991. And we had on our heart Cecilville, Forks, and Sawyer's Bar, because all those years of going out over the mountains and things, Cecilville had a population of 52 at the time. And so the church where I had been pastoring on a youth pastor, associate kind of level, they really couldn't see why. I mean, Chuck, we know you hear from the Lord, so we're going to stand with you. We're going to be supportive. Kind of. But we're going to go ahead and send you and pray for you. But where are the people you're going to be ministering to? Right? So ministry began there. But this church, Wendell and Marilyn, right? Bill and Susie, right? Just saw something, believed in us, and even as we began ministry over there, it was a long time. We went from 1991 to 1996 before we saw, I could count everybody in all three towns on both hands that we felt like we were impacting. And four of those were Susan and I and our two kids, right? So, and it felt like, people would come to what we were doing in Cecilville as a visitor. They'd hear they'd be in the campground or something, and they'd stop in and they'd say, why are you here? Why don't you go someplace that you can make a difference? Go someplace. Don't you want to impact? Well, of course. I was 27. We started things there. Of course I wanted to make a difference. Of course. And sometimes I wondered why the Lord was like leading me there. On one level, my heart was full of what he wanted to do. But on another level, it's like, what am I doing? Nobody cares we're here, on your worst moments. Right? Those kinds of things. But yet, Wendell and Marilyn here, and many others of you, knew that what we had on our heart was from the Lord and stood with us. And we did eventually see God do many, many things. But then the Lord in 2000, we did not want to leave. Actually, it was a great mourning process. Not mourning as in AM, mourning as of when you are grieving to be pulled away. But what we felt led to do was to do things through Rural Shepherds Network to encourage a lot of pastors in similar kinds, reaching into places, hard places, that you're not going to see a lot of obvious fruit, but you see fruit. And God moves. With all that in mind, I want to do a little survey of, the scripture here, because we always know that whatever the Lord is making a point of, right, whatever he is emphasizing, we're going to see through the whole of scripture. It is one way that we can't just take verses and scriptures and make points out of them and take them out of context and make some big emphasis out of something that just appears once in scripture. Anything that God really wants to say through his word, he's going to confirm it in two or three different areas. And just as is obvious in Luke chapter 24 with Jesus after the resurrection, and he began in the law and the prophets and the Psalms, showing all that would have to happen to him. Right? That's the point of anything that's on God's heart. And so if you will, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time digging into these, but I do want to do a little survey of the scripture real quick so that we see a key, big, important theme. So I'm going to start with Genesis 1, and I'm just going to read through Genesis 20. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 1. And it'll be on your screen, but I want I'm going to look at it here, because I want us to see it's a survey. It's not just a list of scriptures. This is Genesis 1. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Would you please just hold on to those thoughts? Right? Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Genesis chapter 1. But what is the biggest thing in all of this? And that is that he made us in his image. Does that mean the nose and the mouth and the eyes and all of those things? No. He wanted his own heart, his own character, his own nature, the truth of who he is to be seen, manifested in our lives, right to the core, to the depth, that we would truly be those that he could manifest himself through. That we would carry his image. It's an important, important piece. Tied together with the fact to be fruitful and multiply, right? Fill the earth and subdue it. So I'm going to go now in this thought. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 12. And I know this church, and I know there's a lot of Bible scholars in here, so I'm talking to the choir in many ways. But hear this, the Genesis chapter 12 is the first time we see the Great Commission. Abram is being called. This is 2,000 years before the cross. He is being called and set apart, and God is going to make of him a great people that he is going to illustrate all that he would come and do through. And so that is the law, but that is also all the sacrifices, that's the festivals, that is everything that he would lay out beginning there. And through Moses and all through all the rest of it, he would illustrate and make clear and confirm and do all kinds of things that would be played out when the Messiah came. Right? But just in Genesis chapter 12, it says this, I will make you a great nation, verse 2. I will bless you and I will make your name great. Hear this. Because it's still true of us now. Hear this. And you shall be a blessing. We've been blessed to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. Now hear this, and this is going to come through, right, the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Through the descendant of, as a descendant of Abraham here, it says, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you, through Jesus, all the family. So I'm going to do this quickly here. I'm going to jump forward now. We were in the law, the first five books of the Bible. I'm just going to jump through to Psalms. We could do others. But in Psalms 22, it says this. All, in verse 27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. Think about this, that this is in the latter part of the same chapter where it says, it's, you know, right? This is the chapter where Jesus literally, this is during David's time, so it's still 1,000 years before the cross, right? And this is an illustration of Jesus is from the on the cross, and he's crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in all the views of that, we see later on, for dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look at me and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Right? But in the same context, and just a little while later, right? And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. We jump forward now. We're in the law, Psalms, now into the prophets. Let's just look at Daniel chapter 7 real quick. In Daniel 7, it says, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Again, right, that all peoples, nations, languages shall serve him. Just for the sake of time, we're just going to jump all the way to the end in Revelation and look at Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, beginning in verse 9, it says, after these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Right, every nation, tribe, and tongue from Genesis to the Revelation. Right, it is his heart. And what's his heart? Right, that his own image would be seen. I do. What I'm going to tell you now is not to impress anybody or to boast or anything else. I feel so honored. Honored. To have had the privilege to travel. And over the last 25 years since leaving here, I've gotten to be with pastors and missionaries in their homes all over the world. Whether lots of countries in Asia, lots of countries in Europe, in Eastern Europe, and South America, and Africa, and all over the North America. And it's an amazing thing. I never go. I'm still the kid that rode up to Farrington's Market with my grandfather drinking coffee out of his thermos, right? And who was pastoring over on the other side here. Nothing about my ministry was very impressive. It's just simply about caring about people. I tell leaders in various countries, the one thing that I really kind of bring is just that it's the people that matter. And it's having the eyes to see, is being able to look at people and see the letter being written in their lives. And to do the things that we're called to do and the unique things of who we are as a body of believers, to be able to invest in who they are. And to see God able to write in lives. Often, we don't get to see all of the successes of what God is up to, but He does that through the years. But the privilege that I have had, as I say things to some of these pastors in various places, you know what God taught me in Cecilville and in Forks and Sawyers? Was that success isn't marked by numbers. Hear this, because every church goes through ebbs and flows. Things go up and down. We worry, oh my, this is not a good trend, or that's not. Oh. But the fact is life is full of ups and downs. Success isn't marked by numbers. As those who know the Lord, success is marked by obedience. Success is obedience to what the Lord leads us to do. And you know that the bulk of the body of Christ all over the world is in rural places. I'm not just talking about the numbers. I'm talking about all you got to do is look at the earth. I've gotten to be with rural pastors all over the place. And I don't go to impress anybody, but just to see encouragement. And let me just tell you, I'm always walking away more encouraged and more impressed by who I've met than anything I bring. In Cambodia, for example, a young man pastoring there, attending a seminar, I was, teaching, got to see him in two different occasions. When he, over the years, two different times, this man lost his leg during the Khmer Rouge, came to the Lord, was trained, and now rides around on a bicycle, no special gears, not electrified, just a bicycle, imagine the pedals, on gravel roads with one leg. He makes his way through a series of three communities that he's got to get to by gravel road, pits in the roads, those three communities where he pastors. Think of the everyday life. Think of in his own mind, how significant am I? Just, how important. Oh, if I only had this or if I only had that. I think of another pastor in Brazil who's a cattle rancher, who needs to take care of his fences, who needs to take care of everything else. And yet he's pastoring and he's encouraging other pastors. Right? You guys met James and Volya in Ukraine and some of the stories that they tell. Right? But those significant things that happen in kitchens. Right? It's in small places. It is lives in so many locations. It's Indonesia. Indonesia is made up of 1,700 different islands. It's the largest Muslim country in the world. And it's got 300 distinct people groups, language groups. And yet, I've spent time with pastors who are just like working on getting into the coffee trade so that they can buy coffee from the growers in villages that have no attention, they're fully Muslim, but they can go and relate and gradually get things happening in homes in these villages. Does any of it look significant? No. But it is powerful. In Matthew 28, a key area here. Verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And what does that mean? I mean, he created everything. By him, for him, and through him, everything that was made, right? But yet, he emptied himself. He came and took on human flesh. Being fully God, he became fully human, and then he conquered death, hell, and the grave because he was without sin, right? And all authority, even over death. He conquered it for us, and in him we have life. His work is finished. And it's completed for us. But if we're looking for in our lives all the indications of success, the fact is we live in a fallen world. And the fact is that the true character and nature and depth of who God is at work in us. The scripture says that it is God who works in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Can I jump back just for a moment? Because I was thinking about this the other day. There is a vivid memory for me. For a long time, even as the ministry started over on the Salmon River, Glenn Rayleigh, who was the pastor of the Methodist Church back when we first came here, was leading the Salvation Army. And he passed that on to me. And in that, around this was like 92. In 92, he passed that on to me. And we got to see a lot of different people come to the Lord during that time. And so I ended up with, right here where the building is, where the old annex used to be, we used it for services with these people that were coming to the Lord. I was in Cecilville and Forks and Sawyers, but people started to come to the Lord, and so it was in this old annex. But it outgrew that, and so we started using the Methodist Church building, the old one, before it was torn down and they moved. We were using that for services at 2 in the afternoon. Later on, after that was torn down, we moved over and used I heard you guys say historic church, but we used it for a long time and so there were things. But when I was in the middle of it all, when I was in the middle of all this, and we were reaching out into Cecilville and Forks and Sawyers and just seeing very, very little fruit at the time, but also there were lots of things happening with people who had come to the Lord during that time in these services. But I was just feeling so, Lord, am I doing the right thing? I was preaching there in the old Methodist church, and I was standing there. And on the fourth pew back, as you look out, the floors in that building used to be kind of slanted up. And so I was looking, I was standing there preaching. And on the fourth pew back, I just, in my mind, I'm in the middle of a message and I got this other track running, but I suddenly just was remembering how it was that fourth pew back that myself and my grandmother and my grandfather always sat. And I was just thinking in the back of my mind at how captivated I was. I didn't come to the Lord right during that time, but the Lord was certainly stirring in me. But you know what happened? A vivid memory came, and that was that I remembered being out in front of the church with a friend of mine named Eddie. And we were sitting in the back seat of my grandfather's car. We were sitting in there waiting for my grandfather to come out, and it was right in front of the church on Diggles there. And we were just sitting there, and we were talking, and we were talking about the service that day. I was probably, when this happened, about 10 or 11. We were sitting there, and I never had thought about this again until that moment. Until that moment, it became so vivid to me. I remembered sitting right there and hearing, and then not hearing anything, but just I remember being so stirred and saying something to Eddie. I said, you know what? Someday I'm going to preach in there. And he said, what? He goes, I said, I don't know. I just feel like it's true. But in that moment, as I'm sitting there sharing, I'm realizing that in all of the ups and downs and all the struggles of my life and everything else where I was failing, God had been faithful and was right there. And that moment, all it did, it wasn't the significance, it wasn't the anything else, but it was just the sense that just like in all of our lives, as we've committed our lives to Him, He is Lord of our lives. He is faithful to bring about His purposes, to transform us, to truly reflect who He is. And He's so good. He steers when we don't even realize He's steering. And I just want to finish with this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That word nations here is where we get the word ethnic or ethnos. Every ethnic group, every ethnos is every people group. But it means people matter. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's coming under the submission and lordship. Teaching them, but here's the key. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. What does that mean in God's heart and intent? You know, the scripture says that one day, you know, the word will cover the earth like the waters, you know, cover the sea. Right? It's just like it's beautiful. But I would say, and I just want to finish with this thought. Like it says in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We got to see Jesus, and we suddenly got to see the Word made flesh and lived out. We got to see what all of it meant, everything through the law and the prophets. We got to see what it really looked like. And now He is head, and we're His body. Ephesians 1 says, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. Right? God in the earth is literally, it's His intent that He would manifest Himself through His people. But hear this. Hear this when we hear all the confusion and all the struggles and all the nations and all the things. God is raising His people up. And it is happening. And it is God's intent that every nation, tribe, and tongue, every people group, He is going to display Himself through. And it isn't just a simple knowledge of what happened on the cross. That is the core of it all. But it is the manifestation of who He is and all that He is being seen in every nation, being seen in every culture, in every ethnic group. That's a powerful thing. As it said in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image. It is going to be absolutely fulfilled. And his glory is going to fill the earth. And his will is going to be exhibited and seen through every culture on the face of the earth. And then Revelation is going to be amazing when we know that every tribe and tongue, every nation, tribe, and tongue is around the throne. But it comes down to, it's just people seeing people and knowing that God is doing a deep work in Aetna, a deep work in Greenview, a deep work that'll touch the Dredger Camp and Callahan and Fort Jones and Quartz Valley and Mugginsville and all the area and Cecilville, Forks, and Sawyers. Father, I just thank you for all of these here that Susan and I know as family. I just thank you for all your intent, all of your plans, all the things that you are up to and doing. I just pray your blessing on this church. And I pray your clear guidance. Lord, I do thank you for all that you did during the seasons when with Wendell and Marilyn and Bill and Susie and Drew and Lisa, but now there's Brant and his bride. And Lord, I thank you for the unique things that you have ahead for the Scott Valley Berean Church through them. It's your work, it's your order, it's your plans. Give Brant, Lord, the ability to see this place with your eyes. And I pray too for this church that they would always see Brant and his bride through your eyes, Lord. Just bring about your blessings in this house, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand?